Prologue. Undercover. It's squid ink black, warm and quiet. All the outside sounds are muffled. Sunlight shines orange, almost red, dimly filtered under the soft, heavy crimson blanket. I'm playing my game, counting my fingers and toes, marvelling at how they work. Flesh, blood and bone, see-through fingernails peeping out into the world. I'm curled up, legs crossed, knees tucked under my chin, sucking my thumb. My eyes are closed. I've grown accustomed to my own little make-believe world. No one is allowed in, no matter how much they tap-tappity-tap at the door. It's just me and Mummy. Mummy and me. Tee-hee-hee. I can hear Mummy's voice drifting down as she sings. Mummy sings like a lark, all swooping and fluttery. I'm close to Mummy, in her lap, face pressed up against Mummy's chest, hearing the kettle drum heartbeat that drowns out the outside world with its regular, soothing, thumpity-thump. Sometimes, after Mummy has eaten, her belly gurgles like the emptying of a bath, loud liquids squeezing through a small opening. I wish we could stay here forever and ever, wrapped up warm and safe. But I know that I'm going to have to come out and face the music sooner or later. For now, I can dream and imagine a world with fairies and glowworms and people without edges who laugh like flowers and sing like birds. Sometimes I can feel the tension of other, deeper voices, but I curl up tighter and squeeze my ears completely shut, and the other voices are sent away. I flex and extend my toes, delighting in the way that the soles of my feet alternately crinkle and stretch. I'm discovering my limbs for the first time, testing my strength and finding my range. I'm impatient, but I know that wishing won't make it happen. Nothing before its time. The world can wait until I'm good and ready to make my entrance, regal, poised and battle-ready, armed with my shield and buckler. Well, fingers and toes to begin with. The rest, I know, will come. One snow-cold day, with little notice or fanfare, it is time. Mummy is moaning. I try to ask her what's wrong, but the words do not form. The moaning gets louder, bouncing around inside my skull until it gets tight and too suffocating, and I shit myself. Oh no, not good. Not the way I planned this. Quite frankly, embarrassing. This will not do at all. I have to pull it back, recover my composure. All dressed up for the play, ready to make my ta-da entrance and tripping over my two big shoes. I've got to style it out to get the audience laughing with me, not at me. The jumper is being pulled over my head, but the neck is too tight and it's stuck. I can't hear and I can't see. I'm being squeezed by the polo neck. My eyes are held so tight they're getting all bloodshot. I'm going to look like I've been crying, damn it. My little heartbeat is thundering in my ears, 10 to the dozen. I can't think straight. I want to shout, stop, not yet, I'm not ready. Wait until I'm imprisoned. The blanket is now a straitjacket inside a cell inside a prison. But it's alive and pulsing like too many rubber bands cutting off my circulation. Underneath the brown skin, I'm turning blue. No one said it was going to be like this. Endless squeezing, screaming, torture. It's a bloody outrage. The ink and the squid are merging, the fleshy tentacles constricting the life out of me. And finally, the jumper is over my head and I'm furious. How dare they? I did not agree to this. I did not consent. I want to tell them, you do not have my permission. I want to write an angry letter to the Times signed Disgusted of Bradford. But I can't speak and I don't know how to write. Me and the squid and the ink have slithered onto Mummy's legs. My eyes are still squeezed shut, my legs kicking in fury. I want to go back. I want my warm blanket and my squid ink and my diluted sunshine. I want calm and red-orange and the gentle rocking from side to side when she walks, carrying me in the cradle of her hips, safe, secure, protected. But I know there is no going back. And for the first time in my life, I cry. Valves shut like doors slamming. Others swing open and blood gets diverted. I will have to circulate it round my body all by myself now, with no help from Mummy. The high-pitched shrill wail of grief, pain and anger, of lungs suddenly press-ganged into action, sucking in harsh cold air and stripping the oxygen from it. Alveoli blow up like little balloons as, for the first time, outside oxygen crosses into my blood. This breathing malarkey is hard work. This is going to be my life from now on. No one will breathe for me. No more swoosh and gurgle. Mummy's heartbeat is no longer in my head. I dare not open my eyes. I dare not look at the New World Order. Bring back the orange and yellows and reds. I'm lying on Mummy's chest on the outside now. Mummy and me. Boo-hoo-hoo.